What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder Carbine Action 2 on the Sharp Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode, I don't know. And you know what? I have a team of scientists working round the clock trying to figure out what number episode this is, and they can't seem to find out. And you know what? Frankly, I don't really care. Anyway, welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. Let's do the interactive bit. How are you? Yeah, I know I always ask how are you, because I want to know how you are. Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Okay, let's get on with the show. And scene. I've got a few things to talk about before I start the show. Nothing major. I've just had a couple of emails and I thought I should sort of pay lip service to them. So, first one, I heard from my mate Ty Virgin. And he said he's been to his local range and they've already got Christmas decorations out. Yeah, at the range. And I can understand that, I guess. I mean, he sent that on the 21st of August. That seems a little bit early. But, you know, you got to get them out there at some point, haven't you? So, let's do that. Let's get them out there. And let's buy them. And then you've got decorations for your whole home. I also got an email from David Ferguson. And this is what it says. This may be the first time I've sent an email, but I found your podcast yesterday and I'm very fond of it. Very fond of it. So that's high praise. And he's put, I'm starting at the beginning and going through. And he's also put, I love Christmas and I've been growing a beard for the past 3 months because my goal is to be Santa Claus, which I believe this year I will start. Your podcast is the best one I've found. Very entertaining. And he's from Williamstown in the USA. And I thought that was very nice, saying my podcast was the best one. That is, of course, a matter of opinion, but I'm glad he likes it. Here's the thing, he started from the beginning and going through. I don't know, like, what number he's up to now, but he might not hear this for, like, another 6 months, maybe even a year. Maybe even he'll give up before he gets to this episode. I don't know. All I do know is he sent me an email, so I'm responding. Now, I've also got an... Hello, what?
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I'm a little bit late.
Who are you?
I'm a bit before the theme music.
Well, obviously you're not.
No, I am. I'm a bit before the theme music, but I got a little bit late.
Yeah, but you're too late then, aren't you? I've played the theme music.
Yeah, but I'm a bit before the theme
music. You're obviously not, because you're not before the theme music. You're the bit after the theme music. Could you move along? I want to read out an email.
Yeah, but can I just do my bit, please, about the bit before the theme music?
Is it going to be long?
Not really.
Okay, right, do your bit then.
This is the bit before the theme music. Run the theme music.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, well done. I'm not running the theme music. I've already done it. No one wants to hear it twice.
Okay, I'll see you later then.
Yeah, and next week, get him on time. Goodness. That was the bit before the theme music. What time does he call this? This is what I'm talking about. If it wasn't for Bob Baker, this podcast would be a complete shambles. As it stands, it's like about 80% shambles. Right. I also got an email from Timothy Lewis, and I just want to mention it because he sent me this comic strip. It's a very short comic strip, 3 pictures of A Christmas Carol. And I got sent this maybe 3 years ago was the first time. And I think someone else sent it to me, like maybe year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And then he sent it to me again as well. And I won't lie to you, it's brilliant. I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'll chuck it up on Facebook so you can see it for yourself. Although I did chuck it up on Facebook when I first received it. Pretty sure it was my mate Scott Newman was the first one to put it up. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. Now I suppose we'll get on with the show, shall we? Speaking of Bob Baker, let's start with this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Okay, this is it. I am finally giving up drinking for good. From now on, I'll only be drinking for evil. There was a movie in 2019 called Last Christmas. I enjoy it, but I often feel like I'm in a small minority. Some of the reviews were scathing, calling this film awful and horrid, with one critic even arguing that it was among the worst films ever. Ouch! I thought it was harmless. It had a good message wrapped up in a romance, humor, and an abundance of Christmas spirit. Where cynical young Amelia Clark plays Kate, who learns to embrace life and find herself again. In the movie, Kate works at a Christmas shop. She is visited at work by her romantic interest, Tom, and she shows him some of the worst items that they sell, including a manger scene with a full-toothed baby Jesus and a smiling donkey. It is what Kate calls a disco nativity scene. Now, when she says this, it means something very specific to me. But as self-appointed Scandinavian-American correspondent Benji Pearson wrote to us, this is a "Do you hear what I hear?" moment. You might not know this, but the term disco is ultimately blamed on the Nazis. It is shorthand for the word discotheque, which is a French word for library of phonograph records. This is derived from bibliothèque, meaning a library of books. A discotheque in France described a very specific type of nightclub in Paris. These were the places that had to resort to playing records because of restrictions imposed during the Nazi occupation. Before that time, dance music was always performed by live bands. Now, after the war, the French continued to go to these clubs, and they became popular in the UK, where the word was shortened to disco to label these places. Now, in England, the term disco is used very creatively today compared to how it is used in America. It is still a place where people dance to disco music, but the term disco in the UK also describes dances in general. A disco is not just a place, it is an event, like they're holding a disco at the school. The word disco is also used to describe things that are crazy or unorthodox. And when someone says, "Let's disco," in Great Britain, it means "let's do this" when you are about to do something fun or irresponsible. Recently, I was watching the British show Luther on Netflix, and he said, "Everything is tickety-boo, totally disco." So as you can see, it can mean a number of things in the Commonwealth. Americans, we use the term disco only for a certain style of music and type of dance. It refers to anything associated with the disco era and culture as seen in the 1970s movie Saturday Night Fever. It describes that glitzy look of the times, represented by flashy clothes, glamorous celebrities, and excessive sex and drug use. The distinctive way that we Yanks use the word may be traced to the different disco experience in both countries. The British scene was more provincial. It was held in dance halls with mobile DJs and less of the beautiful people and rich glitterati. Plus, in the States, we had the whole disco sucks backlash with the homophobic and racist fallout that came with it. And there just wasn't that same type of backlash in England. I mean, other than punk rock. So let's thank Benji for having us face the music. Cheers and happy Christmas.
It's unbelievable how much better every one of these gets. Compared to what I do, which gets worse and worse, Bob's just gets better and better. I never knew that about disco, where it came from, but now I do. I did know that in the States it does just mean music from the 70s, whereas in the UK, yeah, we do, we still use it. Normally it's like school discos, or like if you're going to a birthday party for the young kids, they'd call that a disco, like music and lights, or wedding discos as well. So if you haven't got a live band, they'd call it a disco. We've got a disco. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, thanks again to Bob for adding a bit of class to the show, and also to Benji for sending that one through. I really appreciate it, Benji. Also, while we're on the subject, I didn't mind Last Christmas, didn't love it, didn't hate it, but I thought it was all right. Yeah, thanks again to Bob, and now it's time for this.
Christmas,
This episode, we're looking at the Giant Lantern Festival in the Philippines. Now, this Giant Lantern Festival is held in mid-December in the city of San Fernando in the Philippines. And, well, I say that, I read somewhere else that it's on the Saturday before Christmas, but I've got a feeling that might be when the actual, like, the competition is. So maybe it runs for a bit longer, I don't know. Anyway, in their native language, the term is Ligligan Parol, which means the Lantern Festival. And Parol means lantern, and that comes from the Spanish word farol, which means lantern. And it originated from Spanish colonial times in the Philippines. And the first city, where it was a big-ish thing, was the town of Bacolod. But when the provincial capital was transferred to San Fernando, the festival moved with it. Now, they can't seem to agree if the first festival was in 1904 or 1908. But who cares? Do you know what I mean? It's like nearly 120 years ago. So, you know, let's not worry about it too much. Now, it started as a Lubenas, which is a religious festival where lanterns are paraded through the streets. So you'd have 12 lanterns, most of them in the shape of a star, and the one at the front would be in the shape of a cross, and they'd parade through the street. And this was on Christmas Eve, so everyone could find their way to church for midnight mass. But then it became like a separate entity in itself, this lantern festival. And to begin with, when they started off, the lanterns were about 2 foot across, and they were made with bamboo and paper, and they put a candle inside them. But gradually they got a bit bigger and bigger. But then come 1931, when mains electricity was introduced to San Fernando, they got massive. And now these lanterns are about 20 foot in diameter. 20 foot. That's like me standing on top of me, standing on top of me, and then my daughter Juno standing on top of me. And I'm going, Juno, get down from there. You're hurting Daddy's head. Yeah, so they're like 20 foot across now. See, the thing was, originally you had a candle inside your lantern. Maybe they got a bit bigger, but if you put like a couple of candles in there, you could be looking at a fire hazard. Whereas when they got electric lights, they could have as many lights as they wanted over them. So they got huge. Yeah, like I say, now they're 20 foot in diameter. And the designs have become more and more intricate. And first, they were sort of controlled by hand. You'd have switches to flash the lights on and off. But now it's all computerized, and it's pretty much, yeah, just a light display. Each one is a light display. And in 2017, a limit was introduced of a maximum of 10,000 lights. And nowadays, each barangay, now a barangay is like a district in the city of San Fernando. Each barangay, there's 12 of them, they make their own lantern and they compete to be the best one. So you've got all these, now I should describe what they look like, because I'll tell you what they don't look like. Bloody lanterns, I can tell you that for nothing. They're like these huge round discs. I read somewhere they were fiberglass. I don't think they're fiberglass. Probably, I don't know, some sort of plastic maybe, or metal. I don't know. They're huge, right? Huge. But the lights are just on the disc. They're not in the disc. And it is just a disc. It's like a you're looking at a light display, really. I don't know why they call them lanterns, because it ain't a lantern. It should be called the Giant Disc Light Display Competition. That's what I'd call it if it was my competition. But no, they call it the Giant Lantern Festival. Speaking of which, this year I will be holding a giant light disc competition. I'm not. My wife won't let me. Forget it. Anyway, where was I? So they line up all these discs, lanterns, discs, whatever, on a stage. And it's interesting because you saw the back of them, right? They got all these wires going into the back, and it was really like quite an affair. Anyway, lined them all up on a stage, right? And each one does a 7-minute display. So really, it is who's designed the best light display. And I've watched a few of them, and most of them begin like with just like a pattern in a circle. But then they sort of like might have pictures come up, or words saying like Merry Christmas, stuff like that. Yeah, and it runs for 7 minutes, and it's set to music. And the way they choose the best one is they all play, and then they eliminate one. Now, from what I could gather, they play them all again, which was going to take a long time, isn't it? 7 minutes times 12, because there's 12 barangays. What's that? That's over an hour already. They've got to do that 10 times. That can't be right, can it? But how do they eliminate them then? You've got to try and remember? I mean, it does run quite a long time, this. I mean, it can't be, no, it can't be as long as that, though, can it? Anyway, they get rid of one each round, and then you're left with the final two. That's how it works. And then you get the winner. That's it. Now, like I said, there are 12 barangays, but they don't always all compete. I was reading about one that they won 3 years on the trot, so they decided to take a step back for a year. So that's sort of how it works, you know. So you might not have a dozen, but there's quite a lot. All the pictures I saw, there was plenty up there for you to enjoy. But again, like I said, really, you're just judging the best display, not the best lantern, just the best light display. And the whole festival was a big deal, you know. They've obviously, you've got the music playing when you've got the lanterns going, but there's loads of stuff going in the background. They've got like stalls, people selling stuff. You could buy your own lantern. Yeah, they did have stalls selling lanterns and also food and that. So it's a big affair, and people come from all over the country to come and see these lanterns. They're not lanterns, they're just discs, all right? These discs with lights on them. People come from all over the country to see these discs with lights on them. Yeah, it's a big, massive affair. And for that reason, the city of San Fernando has been sort of christened the capital of Christmas in the Philippines. Yeah, one last thing before I wrap it up. In 2019, the cartoon Where's Waldo, or in the UK, we call him Wally. They actually went, him and Wanda, that's his girlfriend, isn't it? They went to the festival, the Giant Lantern Festival in the Philippines. And apparently, Waldo saw them and said, well, they're not lanterns, they're just giant discs with lights on them. Because that's how he talks. That last bit might not be true. I haven't seen it. So, yeah, there you go. That's the Giant Lantern Festival in the Philippines. Now it's time for this. Do you want a joke from a toilet roll? Do you want a joke from a toilet roll? Do you want a joke from a toilet roll? Well, here's a joke from a toilet roll. That's right, boys and girls. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but my wife gave me a toilet roll with jokes on it. Christmas jokes, that is. So, boys and girls, I know you love this part of the show because it's great. And yeah, I'm going to read you one of those jokes from a toilet roll. Here it comes. Who sings White Christmas and then explodes? Bang Crosby. Ugh. That has just ruined my mood. Goodness! Bob's back, boys and girls, and my God, Bob, you are looking gorgeous today.
Why, thanks, Jack. This episode's Christmas Every Day requires preparation, like a couple of decades worth. There is a journal called The Christmas Memories Book by Lynn Anderson. You may have seen it in a gift store. It has a red hardcover on it. She provides the calligraphy in the drawings, but it really is a diary with marked sections to record the details of each Christmas celebration. It covers 20 years, and it asks for information like the things that you did, the visitors you had, dinners, and special memories. Now, trust me on this, because I know it requires work and discipline, and I also know how exhausted you can be once the festivities are over and you just want to take everything down and put it away. However, you need to force yourself to sit down and fill out this book. My wife gave it to me in 1992, and I have filled an entire one up, and I'm halfway through another. I have details about things we don't even remember anymore, but the best part is the special memories. And I make notes in the margin of things I want us to do or improve the next year, or maybe not even try again. If you want an incredible rush of nostalgia and sentimentality, you pick up this book and you read a little bit of it throughout the year. You will find funny things that your kids said when they were little, or maybe some of the chaos or humorous mishaps. I also stuff the book with little items like letters written to Santa, Christmas lists, or programs from the shows that we attended. Surprisingly, you forget many of the things that happen, but they will come rushing back to you when you read about them. This will be a priceless treasure. It can make you tear up or laugh out loud. Now, if you have some special memories that you want to record, you pen them to Jack, he'll dictate them to me, and I'll recite them all next episode.
That's another good one. Great work, Bob. I've got to say, we don't have those books in the UK. I've never seen them before, but I should keep my eyes peeled for one. At the end there, and at the end of every one of those segments, Bob asks you to send in your ideas, and you don't. I don't ask much in this world, boys and girls, but it would be nice if, you know, if because you're all Christmas aficionados. If you're listening to this podcast, you love Christmas. So you must have some ideas of how you keep Christmas with you all through the year when Christmas... Right. Send them in so I can pass them on to my mate Bob. Thanks again for both segments, Bob. If you haven't listened to Bob's podcast yet, you've got to check it out. Festive Foreign Film Fans. It's really good. And I know you'll love it. Now it's time for this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Yes, it's the quiz, boys and girls. Before I start, I've got a lovely email from Benji Pearson. And he's put, my family was cleaning our church this morning. As part of the written instructions, it said to take the pig and clean the chapel. Confused, someone said, what's the pig? Knowing what it meant, I pulled out the big floor vacuum and exclaimed, this is the pig, in the same tune as your intro, this is the quiz. Then I had that tune in my head as I was using the pig to clean the chapel. So, just for Benji, I'm singing this. This is the pig, this is the pig, this is the pig, this is the pig. Yeah, thanks for that, Benji. And now this is the quiz. So, no messing around. I'm going to give you 10 questions. Then I'm going to give you 10 answers. You're going to see how many of the questions you got right. I tell you this every episode. Why am I telling you now? Because I like to repeat myself. Right. Question number one. What line ends this comedy version of a carol? We three kings of Orient are one in a taxi, one in a car, one on a scooter blowing his hooter. It actually says beeping his hooter, but I used to sing blowing his hooter. How do you finish that? What comes next? Here's one for you. One in a taxi, one in a car. Aren't they the same thing? Especially with Uber. Any car can be a taxi now. Or it can be an Uber. Anyway, that was question number one. Finish that hilarious comedy version. Question number two. What does the Cockney rhyming slang term Santa's grotto mean? Santa's grotto. Okay, do you know what Cockney rhyming slang is? I'll give you an example. If I said apples and pears, I'd mean stairs. So I'd say, I'm just going up the apples, which means I'm going up the apples and pears, I'm going up the stairs. So what does Santa's grotto mean in Cockney rhyming slang? Question number three. Now this is going to take some time for me to read out. And it's pretty boring as well. So if you want to put on a cup of tea, or maybe coffee, or if you just want to have a quick nap, you've got time. Which co-writer and singer of the song for which she is arguably best known said, I've always been a tragically sentimental person and Christmas time embodies that sentimentality for me. I wanted to write a song that makes me happy and makes me feel like a loved, carefree young girl at Christmas. I always believed that somewhere inside I knew it was too late to give my brother and sister peace and my mother her wonderful life, but I could possibly give the world a Christmas classic instead. There you go. Okay, who was that? Question numbers. I don't know. I do not know what question number this is. I've lost track already. I've lost track by question number four. Can you believe that? Right. Which 1995 film opens on Christmas Day when Lucy, played by Sandra Bullock, saves Peter from an oncoming train after he had been pushed onto the tracks by muggers? What film's that then? Opens on Christmas. Not really a Christmas film. I've seen it in lists of Christmas films. I wouldn't call it one. It's got to end near Christmas, not start near Christmas. Them's the rules, in my opinion. Question number something. The last time that post was delivered on Christmas Day in England, Wales and Northern Ireland was in what year? Right, when did they stop delivering the mail on Christmas Day? Was it in 1940, 1950 or 1960? Tell me that, if you can. Question something. With a population of just over 80,000 people in an area of 221 square miles, people of which island in the British Isles observe the Boxing Day tradition of Hunt the Wren, or the Hunting of the Wren? Now, you should know that one if you're an avid listener. because I did have a whole segment about that, and it was incredibly interesting. In 1990, this is the next question, okay? It's not just me talking more about when I recorded that segment. This is the next question. In 1990, which American boy band had a top 20 album called Merry Merry Christmas? 1990. That's a clue. So this is the next question. What is the name of the pudding as per the lyrics of the song We Wish You a Merry Christmas? Okay, they mention a pudding. How do they name that pudding? Oh, we're up to question 9. God, that went by quick, didn't it? Eh? Right, what is the name of Donald Duck's frugal billionaire Scottish-American uncle? I wonder if when they first invented him, he was a millionaire. But now it's like, no, a millionaire's not a big deal. You've got to be a billionaire. I wonder. I don't know. Not that interested, really. I just wonder. I wonder. Why, wonder why. Why, she ran away. And I wonder if Scrooge McDuck used to be a millionaire, but now he's a billionaire. Okay, where was I? Question number 10. This is your last one. This is your last chance to pull it back, okay? And you're not going to, because I have no idea what the answer is to this one. Which 2021 film stars Keira Knightley as Nell, who with husband Simon and son Art are ready to welcome friends and family for a perfect Christmas gathering at a country estate? So that film came out less than 2 years ago when I'm recording this. What is the name of that film? Do you know? Because I do not. But I will know when I've looked at the answers, which I'm going to do now. Here come your answers. So, question number 1. What line ends this comedy version of a carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are, one in a taxi, one in a car, one on a scooter, blowing his hooter, smoking a big cigar, or smoking a fat cigar, we would accept. Yeah, I remembered that from when I was a kid. Do you know what is an interesting aside? My most ever listened to episode of the podcast is Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. Yeah, that's the name of the episode, and we talked about all the different versions of Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. That's my most listened to episode. Yeah, it's got, I think, I haven't checked it for a while, but I think it's got like 6 downloads. It might even be 7. I think that was 7. Last time I checked, it was 7 downloads. So yeah, pretty popular episode. Okay, next one. What does the Cockney rhyming slang term Santa's grotto mean? It means blotto, as in drunk. So you'd be like, car. Look out for Dave. He's completely Santa's mate. That's how we say it. Not as in he's Santa's mate, as in he's his friend. As in he's completely Santa's mate. Get that? He's completely blotto, mate. Okay, right, can we move on? Well, have I got to read this whole blooming thing a bit? Okay, who was that person who said some stuff about a song they wrote? Who was that? It was Mariah Carey. Of course it was. You all knew that. Right, next one. Which 1995 film opens on Christmas Day when Lucy, played by Sandra Bullock, saves Peter from an oncoming train after he had been pushed onto the tracks by muggers? That was While You Were Sleeping. Okay, next one. The last time that post was delivered on Christmas Day in England, Wales and Northern Ireland was in what year? It doesn't say about Scotland. That's interesting, isn't it? Like, were they still doing it in Scotland after or before they stopped? I don't know! These are things I do not know. And it'll be really easy for me to Google it. Can't be bothered. I cannot be bothered. Right, where was I? Oh, yeah. Was it 1940, 1950 or 1960? It was 1960. 1960, that's like, you know, not that long ago. People still having to get up. Imagine that. Christmas Day, you've got to get up. At like, what, 4, 5 in the morning do they get up? Go and deliver the mail. On Christmas Day, forget it, mate. I'm calling in sick. Right. Question number something. With a population of just over 80,000 and an area of 221 square miles, people of which island in the British Isles observe the Boxing Day tradition of the hunting of the wren? And that is the Isle of Man. Yeah, if you didn't listen to that episode, have a listen to it. I think the episode is titled The Hunting of the Wren. Well, that might not be. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's quite interesting. They go and hunt a wren. A wren, tiny little bird, a wren is. Not very nice, poor little wren. But it's an interesting story, the backstory, innit? Who cares? This is the quiz. Okay, in 1990, which American boy band had a top 20 album with Merry Merry Christmas? And yeah, do you know what? I can only think of one boy band that was around in 1990, and that was New Kids on the Block, or as I used to call them, NKOTB, because I was an Uber fan. I wasn't really. I didn't mind them, though. They were all right. What is the name of the pudding as per the lyrics of the song We Wish You a Merry Christmas? That pudding was called Jeremy. Jeremy the Pudding. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Happy New Year. Now bring us Jeremy the Pudding. Now bring us Jeremy the Pudding. Now bring us Jeremy the Pudding. And bring him right here. That's... Oh no, Figgy. Figgy Pudding. Not Jeremy the Pudding. It's a completely different pudding. Right, next one. What is the name of Donald Duck's frugal billionaire Scottish-American uncle? Scrooge McDuck. Of course it bloomin' is. Last one. Which 2021 film stars Keira Knightley as Nell, who with husband Simon and son Art are ready to welcome friends and family for a perfect Christmas gathering at a country estate? That film is called Silent Night. And I can tell you for a fact, kids, I had not heard of that. Yeah. And it's a horror film, apparently. So if you've heard about it, you know, you can let me know and I'll go, oh yeah. Interesting thing in it, right? There's an actress in it called Lily Rose Depp. And she plays a character called Sophie, and she's gorgeous. She looks like Vanessa Paradis and Johnny Depp had a baby. That's what she looks like. Do you know why? Because Vanessa Paradis and Johnny Depp had a baby. Yeah, called her Lily Rose Depp. That's who it is. Yeah, I know very little about that, but I can tell you that it's got a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes and 5.7 on IMDb. So there you go. I can't believe I've not even heard about it. There you go. Right. I can tell you what I scored. I scored 8. I thought that they'd stopped making people deliver the mail as early as 1940. I don't think it was as late as 1960. So I got that one wrong, got all the others right, and then I got the one wrong about Silent Night, which, you know, these things happen. 8 out of 10, could be worse, could be better. I could have got 10, but I didn't. I got 8. Did I tell you that? Yes, I did. Now let's do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, do you remember... goodness me. I don't know, about a year and a half ago, I did an episode and it was the first ever movie version of A Christmas Carol, and that was from like 1903, I think, and they haven't got it all. They've got like about 6 minutes of it, and it was like 10 minutes long or 12 minutes long. Yeah, so they've only got about half of it left, and they've lost the original print. So today I am covering the third oldest. Now there was another one in 1908, but they lost that, completely lost it. There's no trace of that one. So actually, if I did that one, this would be a lot quicker, wouldn't it? Maybe I'll do the 1908 one. Right, you ready? I can't tell you anything about it because no one's seen it for years. Maybe I should do the 1910 one. Okay, we're doing that. Yeah, so it was in 1910, directed by... This is interesting. And when I say interesting, this is not interesting. There's like 3 different people that they thought could have directed it. But I'm going with J. Searle Dawley. Yeah, so it came out on the 23rd of December 1910. So they didn't have a lot of time to build it up, did they, before Christmas? These days, if you release a Christmas film, it comes out like around Thanksgiving, doesn't it? So you've got like a few weeks to... Anyway, who cares? It's like 110 years ago, wasn't it? So, yeah, this film is a version of A Christmas Carol, and Scrooge is played by Mark McDermott. He was an Australian actor, and he was only 29 when he played Scrooge. Now, I was thinking about this, like I should do a bit of research to find out who was the youngest person to play Scrooge, but then it's a bit tricky, isn't it, because you've got so many different versions of it. What do I include all the like TV episodes that were based on? I'm not doing it, is what I'm saying. Anyway, he was only 29 when he played Scrooge, and another chap called Charles Ogle played Bob Cratchit, and he was the first ever actor to portray Frankenstein in the cinema. Yeah, bit of a claim to fame that one, isn't it? Then you've also got a chap called William Bechtel, Viola Dana, Carrie Lee, Shirley Mason. Now there's a lot more actors in it than that, right? But this is interesting because those are the ones listed on IMDb. No one knows who they played in it. No one knows, but they've listed them, and I've listed them for you. Right, so as I'm sure you're well aware, back in those days they didn't have any sound and they just put title cards up, and that's what we've got. And I'm going to read out the title cards and I'm going to tell you what happens in it, because the whole thing is only about 13 minutes long, so I might as well run through it. So the first title card reads, "The day before Christmas, Scrooge, a hard-fisted miser, receives an appeal from the Charity Relief Committee." There you go, that's who he's getting his appeal from. And so this is what happens, right? You've got Bob Cratchit just sat there. Scrooge comes in through the door and he comes in and sits down. Now, I don't quite know why they got him to come in and sit down, because we don't know where he's been, okay, but it sort of suggests that that's the start of the day. But if that's the start of the day, he's only there for like 3 minutes before he leaves again. So let's not worry about that. And right at the start, I need to point out that if you've read the book and you're very familiar with it, that does help a great deal in this film, because there's bits in it you're thinking, well, what was that about? Or you wouldn't think, if you know, because I know the story so well, it's like, I know what he's talking about. But other times you think, well, what was that? What was he doing there? What was that? So in this bit, you've got Scrooge pointing at something and he's talking to Bob and he's shaking his head. And that pretty much means, no, you can't have any more coal for the fire. So yeah, so clearly Bob has asked for some more coal for the fire. Then these portly gentlemen enter. A couple of them are portly, a couple of them out of how many? There's three of them. There's three of them. What happened there? Is it like, right, we need two blokes to go, oh, can my brother be in this film as well? No, your brother can't. But he's portly. Oh, goodness, right, bring him in. Now we've got three portly gentlemen. Goodness me. Has no one got any respect for the source material? So they come in, and it's quite funny, right? Because they come in, and they're like, they're covered in what's meant to be snow, but it looks like it's sand. They're sort of brushing off. The way it falls off looks like sand. They're just chucking sand all over the floor. Only a bit. You might not notice it. You might think, no, it looks like snow. Doesn't look like snow. I just told you it looks like sand. Then, this is cool, right? Scrooge just bows and points to the door. He like bows his head, points to the door. It's like, good day to you. Bows, point to the door. That's it. So like, oh, I see. We're saying goodbye, are we? So they all leave, all three of them. It's only a short bit. Then the next title card comes up and it says, his nephew calls to wish him Merry Christmas. So in comes nephew Fred. And he comes in, right? And he's followed by three other people. Like, he closes the door and the door opens again. These other people come in. Like, hey, whoa! It's like, I guess it's his girlfriend and then his mate and his mate's girlfriend. I don't know. You know, you've got to put two and two together. I did. I got eight. That's maths. So, yeah, they all come in. And so when the three others come in, Scrooge just opens the door and bows to them, just like he did with the old portly gentleman. He bows and they're like, what? Oh, he's bowing. Oh, they get out of the door. Okay, saying goodbye. And they just leave. And then Scrooge slams the door and then he like turns to his nephew and his nephew holds out his hand to like shake hands and wish him a Merry Christmas. And Scrooge bows and points to the door. And now this guy is like, oh, okay, I get it. All right, I'll see you later. And he has to leave as well. Yeah. So then Scrooge turns to the window and grabs his cane and like waves it, and then Bob comes up to him and is like, oh, can I, points at the clock, can I leave now? And he's like, yeah. So again, if you weren't familiar with the source material, and even if you are familiar with it, to be honest, you might not know that there's a bit where there's a carol singer singing from outside the building, and Scrooge hears it and he grabs the ruler, or in this case he grabs the cane, and sort of like waves it, and the little kid singing a carol scurries off. Now this is mentioned again later on in the book when he's talking to the ghost of Christmas past, but most people aren't familiar with that because it's left out of most versions of A Christmas Carol. So, you know, if you're not familiar with it, you're like, what was that about? Why is he waving his stick around? Anyway, he waves his stick around. Then we got the next title, after Bob's gone, we got the next title card, and it says, the ghostly face of his former partner, Marley. And Scrooge is like at his door, getting his key in. And I should say at this point that every scene is just filmed with one camera and the camera does not move. You know, it's almost like watching the stage play because there's no movement. Because obviously back then, they only had one camera, you know, it wasn't cheap. Anyway, the next scene is Scrooge at his front door, right? And then like they've done the old double exposure and Marley's face appears on the door knocker. And Scrooge sort of turns to the camera. I don't know if he's meant to be turning to the camera or if he's just turning away. And if you could lip read, he pretty much says bar humbug. He says it pretty quick, but he's like, yeah, that was bar humbug. I got that one. Then the next card comes up and it says, the ghost of Marley, who was like unto Scrooge, warns him of his punishment hereafter unless he becomes a different man. So yeah, Marley comes in and does a lot of pointing. And again, they've used a double exposure because at one point Scrooge sort of reaches out and his hand passes through Marley. And Marley does some more pointing. God knows what he's pointing at. Spirits in the street, or pointing at a picture up on the wall, or pointing at a little birdie that's landed on the windowsill. I don't know what he's pointing at. It'd be nice if it was that bird. So then the next title card comes up and it says, the spirit of Christmas recalls incidents of his youth and early manhood. And so, yeah, the spirit of Christmas is the same for all three, past, present, and yet to come. And this is like the past, and we see him as a young boy, and Fan comes up, which is nice. And I've got to say, this whole bit reminded me of the Jim Carrey film. You know the bit in the Jim Carrey version of A Christmas Carol, where the ghost of Christmas present is there, and he scatters his torch on the floor and this floor becomes see-through. You know that bit? Because they were just trying to make the most of the 3D technology. This reminded me a bit of that because it all takes place in Scrooge's bedroom, but they're sort of all there in his room. Like, it's like a double exposure. So he's one side of the screen and you've got all the stuff going on. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, like I said, we've got Fan, and then you've got Fezziwig's party. Don't see a lot happen there, but you know, it starts off with a couple of blokes tidying some stuff away, then loads of people come in and they all have a dance. So yeah, and then you see Scrooge with Belle, doesn't say her name, I'm guessing it is, and she gives him back his ring. So Scrooge is like, oh, not too happy about that, while he's watching what's going on. Then you've got the next title card and it says Visions of the Present: What the Miser's Wealth Could Do. And now the spirit of Christmas is there again, right? But this time he's holding a torch, like the one I mentioned earlier in that clip. So that's how you can tell that now it's the present, it's because he's holding a torch. Didn't have that earlier. And the next title card comes straight up and it says, The Christmas Dinner of Bob Cratchit, His Clerk. A toast to all the world, even Scrooge. And if you could read lips or they had sound, you'd see that Bob Cratchit stands up to raise a toast and his wife seems a bit annoyed and has a go at him. There's no Tiny Tim, or at least if there is a Tiny Tim, I don't know which one it is, but yeah, that's that. And now we come up to the biggest change from the original book, that if you first watched it, you might not know what's happening. Well, I watched it twice and I know what happened. So it says he sees his nephew rejected for the want of money. So you see Fred there, and then his girlfriend's there, and then his... Now, this is a bit annoying because I'm guessing it's meant to be widescreen, but it's been cut to like TV screens, so old style TV screen size, so you can't really see everything that's going on. But what it seems to be is that his, I'm guessing, his girlfriend's dad is coming and saying, no, you can't be with nephew Fred. And the girl's saying, he's not your nephew, he's Scrooge's nephew. And the dad's saying, yeah, but everyone knows him as Nephew Fred. And the girl says, no, they don't. Everyone knows him as Fred. It's just in the book. And the dad says, what book? None of this happens, all right? None of that. But anyway, this girl, who is his girlfriend, gets dragged off. Right? That's what happens, okay? Right? That's not in the book, is it? He watches them having a wonderful time. But this is a bit different, okay? That's what I'm pointing out to you. Right. I think that's why the title card earlier said, Visions of the Present, What the Miser's Wealth Could Do. Anyway. The next title card comes up and that just says Want and Misery, and you can just sort of see these double exposure hands, because I don't know if there's people crawling up just like reaching out to Scrooge, and Scrooge's like, oh, I don't like that very much, no. Yeah, that's pretty much that. Then the next title comes up and that says Visions of the Future, A Miser's Death. So now the spirit of Christmas, as he likes to be called, has got like a sheer cloth draped over him, so you can still see him, but he's covered in the sheer cloth. So I don't know. And we see Scrooge die, right? It's quite funny. He's on his deathbed, right? He's laying there going, oh, I'm dead. I don't know if he says that. I don't think he does. And this old lady sort of sat there with him, like tending to him. And then as soon as he dies, she sort of like looks around, looks over her shoulder. Like, anyone around? I don't think she needed to do that. Do you know what I mean? She's going to be in this room and she's like checking there's no one else in there. I think she'd know if there were other people in the room. Anyway, she's like looking around, like, anyone around going to see me do this? And just starts undressing him and taking his rings off his fingers and crap like that. Yeah, that's it. And then that's pretty much that. And then you see Scrooge's gravestone. And on it, right, it says, Ebenezer Scrooge, he lived and died without a friend. That's nice, isn't it? Who ordered that gravestone? Because I'm guessing Scrooge didn't before he died. Was Marley his friend? I guess he must have been, because Marley sort of sent the ghosts, didn't he? Anyway, ghosts. I said ghosts then. It's just one ghost, isn't it? Just changing his costume in between bits. Anyway, so then Scrooge sees his gravestone. He's like, oh no, there's a gravestone. It's got my name on it. Oh, and I've got no friends. And here's the funny thing, right? Yeah, they spelt his name wrong on the gravestone. So when Scrooge is there looking at it, he's going, oh no, oh my God, they spelled my name wrong. Oh. Unless it's not my grave, is it someone else's that spells the name with two E's? No, it is mine. Oh, they spelled my name wrong. Oh no. And he sort of like beseeches the spirit, like, oh, please do something about this. And then he looks around for some reason and then collapses on his bed. Like, oh. Then we get the next title card. and it says, Christmas morning, awakened by a Christmas carol to a new life. And Scrooge wakes up and he does a little dance around the room. It's quite interesting because he's running around the room, right? And he's like looking at stuff like, oh, look at this, look at that. And he grabs his bed curtains. He's like, my bed curtains haven't been torn down, just like it says in the book, right? But, well, we never saw them getting torn down by that lady. So that's just from the book, isn't it? Not anyway. His dance he does, because he's all happy, it reminded me a little bit of Alistair Sim, when Alistair Sim dances and says, oh, I'm as merry as a schoolboy, I'm a really good dancer, I'm as happy as a drunken man, or whatever. Anyway, then we get a screen card come up, and this time, this is the only time in the whole film where it's actually like what you'd be able to hear. Otherwise, it's sort of setting the scene. This one is actually telling you what you could hear, and it's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Right, because there's carol singers outside that we see outside his room. Yeah, I was trying to work out what carol that would be from. Now, I had to look this up because I could not think of what carol those lyrics were from. And it turns out it was I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. But I'm not that familiar with that carol. But that's what it came up as. Yeah, and I looked and there it was in the lyrics. It didn't actually say peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It said peace on earth, goodwill to men. Anyway, that's what these carol singers are singing. So Scrooge throws a load of money at them. One of them gets knocked out. And this is before the time of ambulances. So they have to drag this kid, bleeding, blood pouring from his head, through the snow to the hospital. That's not true, actually. They're really happy to collect the money, so that's nice. It all ended well. Then we get a title card saying The Spirit of Christmas at Work, and we see Scrooge following Fred, right? And he sort of follows him back to his house. So Fred and this girl go into his house, and as Scrooge is waiting outside, the three portly gentlemen are walking down the street. So Scrooge is like, yeah, and opens his wallet, gives him a load of cash. Here you go, boys, enjoy that. Then Fred comes back out, and Scrooge hands him a note, and it says, as my business partner, you, my nephew, will be able to marry the girl of your choice. Signed, E. Scrooge. So that sort of resolves the bit we saw earlier, where nephew Fred couldn't marry the woman he wanted to marry, which they completely added for this version. Yeah, there you go. Interesting plot twist, really, for a silent movie. So I was almost impressed by that, but, you know, I'm a purist, remember, so I don't like it when they veer away. Anyway, Fred and his missus give Scrooge a hug. I'm sure he likes that. Then the title card comes up, The Cratchits' Christmas Dinner, and everyone's sort of preparing dinner. Scrooge comes in, acting all mean, but it's interesting, right? Because as he comes in, he's like, I'm not happy with you. And he looks at the window, and obviously Fred and his missus are out there, and he sort of gives them like a bit of a thumbs up, like, all right, it's all going to plan. And he's like, I'm all moody. And then Fred comes bursting in with this great big turkey, loads of other crap. And yeah, they're all very happy. And Scrooge wipes his eyes because he's crying, because he's so joyful that he's changed, and he shakes hands with everyone, and the title card comes up saying the end, because that is the end. Yeah, that's what happens. So yeah, I sort of enjoyed it. Here's the thing, right? You're not going to get a lot out of it if you're trying to find the deeper meaning in A Christmas Carol. But if you're a fan of A Christmas Carol, it's worth it to watch it just for the novelty value, if nothing else. So, yeah, that was this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. It was from 1910. It's 110 years old. And, yeah, why not give it a shot? It's only 30 minutes, you know. Now it's time for this. Boys and girls, this is a podcast that I have recommended before and I've mentioned loads of times, but I want to give them a shout out again because Tinsel Tunes has just celebrated their fifth birthday. Five glorious years. It was originally started by Dwayne Bailey from New Zealand, and then he stepped back for a while and Scott Newman took over with his mate Jay, and then Dwayne came back and Jay stepped back. And now it's coming out once a month with Scott and Dwayne. And I've got to say, I really like it. I love listening to it. Every time a new episode comes out, I'm like, fantastic. Each episode, they look at a different Christmas song and they go deep into the history of it. Then they play some different versions of it from famous people or the most popular versions you might have heard. And then they play like a lot of random versions as well. And it really is a great podcast. Now, I'm guessing nearly all of you are already aware of it because I know I mention it frequently. But one of the reasons I wanted to mention this and congratulate the guys on five wonderful years is because when I first started, I had my podcast running and I think I had like three episodes before I'd even had one download. Then I got one download, and then The next episode, I got one download. And the next episode, I got no downloads. And then I contacted Dwayne and said, oh, can I use a little bit of one of your episodes? Because it's something I was going to cover. And I thought I could use your clip as part of my recommendation. He said yes. And he also plugged my podcast on his show. And ever since then, my numbers have gone through the roof. Just thanks to Dwayne. Yeah, now I get regularly 3 listeners. So, yeah, I want to say again, thank you to Dwayne all those years ago, because that was over 3 years ago that he recommended my podcast. And congratulations to him and Scott, and keep up the great work. That's this episode's recommendation, Tinsel Tunes. If you don't already, I know you'll love it. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Big thank you to Benji for his input. And of course to my... he's almost like my podcast partner. Even though, do you know what? We've never met, me and Bob Baker. We've met over email. We've never even Zoom chatted. Can you believe that? Yeah, and he's been on the show for over a year. Over a year. Yeah. Great work, Bob. You know I love you. So, yeah, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. If you want to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. You know it. You know it's true. I keep reminding you this. I don't earn a cent from this podcast, mainly because it's awful, but I don't earn a cent from it. So all I do get is communication with my listeners, and that's payment enough for me. I love hearing from you. So if you want to drop me an email, anything you want to share, or just to say, all right, do that if you want. Send your email in. I'll reply. We'll all be great friends. So email address, totalchristmas@gmail.com, and website totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry Happy Christmas.
If any of you are looking for any last minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people. And I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?